That was a great song, and you did a great job with it. Appreciate that this morning. If you have your Bible and you want to turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 2, I want to throw the statement out to you. What do when you lose Jesus? You say, well, I didn't think he was lost. Well, he's not. But just stay with me and we'll figure that out. Luke chapter 2 and beginning with verse 41. I won't read through that whole passage at the beginning, kind of be scattered throughout. But let's pray before we get started. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you would help us as we study your word for a few moments, that you would open your word to us and help us to understand. Give us your wisdom. May your Spirit teach us. Will you give us the ability to block out things that would distract us? And help us, Lord, for just a few moments to listen for your voice. Help me, God, as I stand here. You just take control and use me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning with verse 41 says, Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. Have you ever felt at some point in your life that Jesus was not with you? And I'm talking about after you gave your heart to Jesus and began to follow him, and there you hit a point there somewhere where Jesus was not with you. It seems that, you know, it seems that things are not going right. Your prayer life has waned. Your joy is gone. Perhaps that describes someone in this place today, or certainly brings someone to mind. Well, what do you do when you feel like you've lost the presence of Jesus in your life? Let's consider a few things. First off, what exactly did you lose? What was it that you lost? Well, first off, you didn't lose your salvation. Amen. When a person comes to Christ, turning from their sins and sincerely trusting Him as Savior, that person is saved. Amen. I like to think about that this morning. When I gave my heart to Jesus, when I turned from sin, I began to follow Jesus, He saved me. And He didn't go back on His word. So you can't lose your salvation once you are truly saved, but you can lose is fellowship or closeness with Christ. For instance, Peter in the New Testament, he lost his fellowship with Christ. Remember that Jesus told Peter that before the rooster crowed the next morning, as this is during Jesus, he was about to be crucified. He told Peter, and of course Peter was always bold about saying that he would never deny Jesus, he would never stray from Jesus, he'd always be right there with Jesus. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied me not once, not twice, but three times. And of course, Peter boldly said, Lord, that will never happen. That will never happen. But it did, didn't it? It did happen. You know, the pressure was on. Jesus was under arrest and falsely convicted and condemned. And Peter got scared. When confronted by the people of the town, Peter denied that he knew Christ. This happened three times, just as Jesus had said. And then Peter heard the rooster crow. And then Jesus looked at him. Man, I wouldn't have wanted to be Peter right then, would you? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75, Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. At that moment, Peter had lost fellowship with Jesus. He had lost that closeness and intimacy with Jesus. Now back to our text today. Who was it that lost Jesus? In our story today, who was it that lost Jesus? Now, Jesus is a child at this point, about 12 years old. Who's responsible for their 12-year-old child? It's usually the parents, isn't it? It's the parents. It was someone that you would least expect would lose their child. Many have wondered while reading this passage, how in the world could both parents start out on a journey and forget the kid? How is that possible? Well, in today's age, we know that's possible. We've seen it happen, haven't we? Sometimes to the detriment of the child. But you would think maybe someone else would forget the kid, but not the parents. You know, they should be the least ones that we would expect. But when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, we might say that we would never lose close fellowship with Him. You know, maybe you're on a high with Jesus right now. I like being on the high with Jesus, don't you? The mountaintop kind of experience where, man, you've never felt any closer to Jesus. And then something happens, and it pulls you down. But while you're up there, you say, I want to be here forever. There's no way that I'm going to drift away from Jesus. Well, here's a question for us. Can you think of a time in your life, I'm talking about since you've been saved, can you think of a time in your life where you felt closer to Jesus than you do right now? Is there a time back there somewhere where there was that close, intimate fellowship with Jesus, and something happened along the way where right now you would have to say, I don't feel as close as I once did? You know, we get busy with life. We get so busy with life, sometimes we forget our priorities. And when we follow Jesus, who is the priority? Jesus is the priority. I don't care what's going on. Jesus is the priority. And in Matthew 6:33, it says that if we'll seek God's kingdom first, all these things will be added unto us. In other words, if I put Jesus first, it says that in the word, if I put Him first, He's going to take care of these other things. I have to remind myself every little bit, don't you? When you start worrying about something, who really is number one? Jesus is number one. And I'm going to trust Him with my life. I'm going to trust Him with these things that are going on. The third thing that I want us to consider in our text today is, where did they lose Him? Well, they lost Him in the most unlikely place. They lost Him in Jerusalem, the holiest city in the world, and they lost Him in the temple, the holiest place in the world. In other words, they were at church and they lost Jesus. How is that possible? How is it possible that Jesus wouldn't be in the church? Well, again, who is the church? Is it this building? I hope not, because this building's falling down. If you hadn't noticed, we have to patch it up. That's what we're doing right now. We're placing rotten wood. And I know you and I get some rotten wood on us sometimes too, don't we? But the church is you and me. The church is the people. First Baptist Church is going to be First Baptist Church, whether they meet here or they meet elsewhere. It's as long as this body is together, it's First Baptist Church, right? And so when we gather together as First Baptist Church in Lexington, how could Jesus be somewhere else? Is that possible? See, bodily presence in a church building doesn't make us holy. And weekly church attendance alone will not keep us close to Jesus. When it comes to your relationship to Jesus and my relationship to Jesus, if all we do is show up here on Sunday, we're not going to have close fellowship with Him. And just knowing a bunch of facts about the Bible won't give you close fellowship with Christ. Consider the Pharisees in the New Testament. They knew more about the Bible than anybody, right? They knew more about the law, and they were ritualistic and rigid. And they did not have close fellowship with God. They were too busy hammering everybody in the head with the law. They believed that their vast biblical knowledge kept them close to God. But as knowledgeable as they were about the law of God, they gave more headache to Jesus than anybody else. Back to our story. A fourth thing to consider. How did Jesus' parents lose him? How did they lose him? Let's go back to the text, verse 44. It says, "But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, and then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances." So they're traveling along the journey, and they went a full day without realizing that he was not with them. You know, that blows my mind. Because when my kids were small, I was on edge all the time. I wanted to know where you, and all it through their teenage years, where you at, where you're going, da-da-da-da-da, all the time. I remember one time we lived up in Bartlett, Tennessee, on the northeast side of Memphis. And Matthew was small. He was just like tricycle age. And he'd ride his tricycle out there on the driveway. Well, I turned my back one day and he was gone. He had ridden that tricycle down the sidewalk and around the corner, out of sight. Well, I was about to freak out. I mean, this is Memphis. and my kid is not in sight. Well, in just a few moments of franticness, here comes Matthew right around the corner again, just tooling away on his tricycle. I didn't know whether to thank God or kill him or what. I just didn't. I mean to tell you, we've all been through that, us, whoever's parents in here, probably a big, most of us are maybe. But how could you go a whole day? It's kind of hard to, well, it's a different culture, it was, because, you know, the group traveled and they kind of watched out for each other's kids, so it's not as major of a deal as we would think about it today. But here's Mary and Joseph. They went a full day not realizing that Jesus wasn't with them. Every step that they took without him was a step further away from him. You know, we don't have to commit every sin in the book to lose fellowship with Christ. All we have to do is just go about our day-to-day business without Jesus. And it's easy to do. And then something happens in your life that blindsides you, and you discover that you left Jesus back there somewhere. Because I need him now, and I've not been walking with him every day, and he's back there in the... Where'd I leave him at? How did I lose him? I tell you, daily fellowship with Jesus is a necessity if we're going to stay close to him. daily fellowship, prayer at the least, prayer in Bible study or Bible reading at the best. I may sound like a broken record, but if you must be in the Bible and in prayer daily, and I'm preaching to myself as well, if you're going to have a close walk with Jesus, right? And He's going to be with you every day on the journey. You can't wait till your health fails or some tragedy happens and then start looking around for Jesus all of a sudden. You know, it's something. We start straying away from Jesus, He just kind of lets us go, right? He kind of lets us go to teach us a lesson, because He knows that you're going to trip on the road someday, or there's going to be a bend in the road, and you're going to be at that bend, and you're going to need Him, and you're going to start looking for Him, and you're going to realize, and I would realize, that something happened and I left Him back there somewhere. And now I need Him and I don't feel close to Him, and I feel like my prayers are getting nowhere. You got to maintain it, right? You got to stay close with Jesus. So He's close by when life gets tough, right? Well, there's a fifth thing about this. What did Mary and Joseph do when they realized Jesus was not with them? Well, in verse 45, it says, "And when they did not find Him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for Him." In other words, they went immediately back to Jerusalem. They didn't just sit down, give up, and do nothing. They didn't think about it being too late. They did something about it immediately. They didn't wait till it was a better time. Not like many that I have heard that know that they are away from Christ. They'll say, "As soon as I work some things out in my life, I'll come back." Or, "As soon as I'm not so busy, I'll come back." Or, "As soon as my health gets straightened out, I'll come back." Or, "As soon as this, as soon as that," excuse, 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 and then one day I'll... But what if one day doesn't come, right? What if one day doesn't come? And then we've just wasted time. When you realize you're not close with Christ, do something about it immediately. And notice too, they did it persistently, 3 days until they found Him. They didn't go a day and give up. They kept going till they found Him. Yeah, you're away from Him now, and you don't feel as close to Him as you once were. Work at it, right? Work at getting back to closeness with Jesus. I tell you, it's sweet when you're close to Jesus, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about this morning? It's close, it's special, it's great when we're close to Jesus. When you can just utter a prayer during the day and you just feel like you immediately got the answer. God is directing your life. Jesus is with you close. Things are going good. And we can have that, can't we? That close, intimate fellowship with Jesus. Well, the sixth thing is, where did they find Him? Where did they find Him? Verse 46 says, "After 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Him were amazed at His understanding and His answers." No ordinary child, was He? "And when His parents saw Him, they were astonished. And His mother said to Him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And He said to them, 'Why were you looking for Me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?'" Well, they found Him, didn't they? They found Him. They found the place where they lost Him. They found Him in the temple. Remember earlier that I asked you if you can remember a time in your life when you were closer to Jesus than you are now? What was different about back then? What was different? What was your life like back then? How did it happen that you started to drift away from Christ? Maybe you need to go all the way back to where you found Him, right? Where you first found Him, at the foot of the cross. That's where we go in order to be saved, isn't it? That's where it all happened. You'll find Jesus there. Maybe you go back to the place. Think about the place, the time you got saved. What was going on at that time when you got saved, and how much on fire for Jesus you were when you got saved. That's where we need to be, isn't it? That's where we need to return to. Return to the place where you first had that experience with Jesus. You know, for a lot of us, it's been a long time, hasn't it? That was a long time ago. For me, it was 1971. In the summer of 1971 at church camp. You know, I didn't know a whole lot about Jesus back then. I was 9 years old. But where were you when you got saved? Can you remember that? You should be able to. You don't have to remember the exact day and the exact time. Some people can rattle that off, can't they? Well, July 21st of 1971 at 10 o'clock in the morning, I was such and so and so and so. And hey, that's great if you can do that. But you might not be able to, right? I can't tell you all that stuff, but I know where I was. I don't know who the man was that taught the Bible study class at the camp that day was, but I already knew that there were people that I'd been going to church with that had something that I didn't have, even as a 9-year-old boy. For one thing, my mother, who was pretty straight up, you know, when the elements of the Lord's Supper would come by, I knew better than to try to reach out and take it because I wasn't saved. And saved people should not partake in the Lord's Supper. And, I mean, that's the way it should be. But what I wanted to know as a kid is, how come you can do it and I can't? See, I was already asking them kind of questions. So long and long she led me until there came the time of that guy in the Bible study class. And I just remember he had dark curly hair. Isn't that weird? I can't remember his name. He's probably with Jesus now, I would. Or he might not be, I don't know. But he was talking that day in class about the need for us young men to trust Jesus as Savior. And he invited us to stay behind and talk to him, kind of like we do the invitation here. Stay behind and talk to him if you wanted to trust Jesus as your Savior. So that day, I wasn't going anywhere till I talked to the man and found out how I could be saved. And he took and opened the Bible up with me, as much as a 9-year-old boy could do, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Now, I want to ask you this morning, when, and I'm not going to ask people to stand up and hear, but I want you to think, when was it that you trusted Jesus as your Savior? And don't say, well, I was raised up in church. That doesn't get anybody saved. That just points the direction. When was it that you gave your heart to Jesus? If you can't remember that time this morning, then I want to invite you today to trust Jesus as your Savior. Even if you've been sitting in church for 40 years, let's get that right today. Okay? Trust Jesus as your Savior. today. Let's stand together and bow our heads. Father, I pray, Lord, that if there is someone here today who can remember a time when they had a closer walk with Jesus than they do now, I pray, Lord, that you would move upon them to start today, start fresh and anew today, recommit their life to Christ today, and start seeking, start working to have that close, intimate relationship with you that they haven't experienced in a long time, or perhaps they've never experienced it really. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that just can't remember, they think they're saved, but they really just can't pinpoint a definite time, or at least and it doesn't have to be a month or a day or even a year. But Lord, I think today, if you'll just speak to our hearts, we know if we're saved or not. And if we're not, Lord, I pray that you'd move on us so that there's not another minute goes by that we've not trusted you as our Savior. So, Father, would you today move in our midst and let your Holy Spirit draw those who need to recommit their life, or those who need to be saved, would come forward and speak with me during this invitation time. Lord, it doesn't matter how long they've been in church, how long they thought they were a Christian, Lord, that they'll not think about anything else but to get things right with you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.